God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the gospel reading. And as you heard me mention at the beginning of the service, we hear today about how we come into the presence of Jesus, that Jesus is here. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with you. So we see what the presence of Jesus does for us today in our gospel reading, that Jesus brings healing, he brings eternal life, and he calls us to follow him, that we die to our sin, we die to our worry, we die to our anxiety, and we trust in him. I'm going to introduce you today, maybe you've heard this term before, but it's a term that the church has used for many generations, and it's Latin, okay? So, you know, take a, you know, drink of your coffee, rub your eyes, yawn, stretch, whatever you need, get your brain ready, because we're going to hear a Latin phrase today. Lex orandi, lex credendi. Lex orandi means the law of prayer. Lex credendi, you hear credendi, creed, is the law of what you believe. So today we see that Jairus believes that Jesus is someone to be worshipped. Lex orandi, lex credendi means your actions reflect what you believe. It means that the law of your prayer, lex orandi, orans, prayer, the law of your prayers is the law of your creed. The way you worship reflects what you believe in your heart. The church has used this, but it's plain in real life, too. How you treat your friends reflects what you believe about friendship. Shows what you believe in your heart. How you treat your spouse reflects what you believe about marriage in your heart. So we find Jairus today, and he worships Jesus. It says he falls down before Jesus. And this worship of Jairus tells us many things. The way we worship is a confession to the world and to God what we believe about him and what we believe about the world. Jairus teaches us today, lex orandi, lex credendi. The way you worship is the way you believe. It also reveals what we believe about Jesus. We see that not just in Jairus, but also in the woman who's been suffering with a hemorrhage of blood for 12 years. That both Jairus and this woman come into the presence of Jesus to receive something from him. And they come in humbleness. They don't come in pride. And so we see Jesus receives their worship. So we see Jesus is true God. He's worthy of us worshiping him. But then we also see we are to follow him despite how the world reacts. Because at the end of the reading, how did everybody react when Jesus said, the girl is just sleeping? They laughed. So today we hear Jesus calls us to come into his presence to receive, and then we are to follow him despite being laughed at by the world. Now, Jairus comes to Jesus in a different way than most people did. It's quite the scene, really. Jairus was called a ruler of the synagogue. That means he was a lay person that was over the charge, who had charge over the affairs of the synagogue. He was kind of like a church council, a president of a congregation. These rulers of the synagogue, though, at various times in the Gospels, as a group, they were angry at Jesus. Ironically enough, because he was healing people on the Sabbath. Jairus may indeed have been one of them. Angry at Jesus, healing on the Sabbath, yet where do we find Jairus today? With nowhere else to go, Jairus comes and falls at the feet of Jesus. Jairus didn't accidentally trip. Jairus believes Jesus to be worthy of bowing down to and worshiping. Lex orandi, lex credendi. Jairus' outward actions shows who he believes Jesus to be. Jairus knows that Jesus isn't just there to receive worship, but that Jesus is there to give. Jesus has many things to give his people. So Jairus comes with faith. Faith is first and foremost about receiving from God, that we need something from him. Faith believes that Jesus has something to give. And what does Jairus believe Jesus can give? Well, ask yourself. What do you believe Jesus has to give you? Or in your life, what is it that you bow down before? Maybe not physically, but certainly physically, but what do you bend and bow down your schedule for? What is it that demands you to bow down to it? Time? Money? Your anger? Lex orandi, lex credendi. How you pray is what you believe. How you worship reflects what you believe. Do you bow down before these things? What would you say is the chief desire in your life? What do you look to receive from? This is why going to church is the chief lex orandi, the chief order of worship for the Christian. It is the primary way that we show that we believe Jesus' words when he says, wherever two or three are present, there I am. Church is where we come to receive from Jesus. We believe that Jesus is not stuck up in heaven with nothing to give us. So what does Jairus ask for? He isn't asking for a good day. He isn't asking for a new car. Jairus isn't asking for more money, although those things are certainly worthy to pray for. But Jairus asks for his daughter to be made well, for her to keep on living, the text says. Jairus knew what was likely the outcome for his daughter. She's going to die. Jairus knew also the likely outcome for himself. Jairus knew one day he also would die. And so it wasn't just disease and illness that Jairus is battling with. Jairus believes Jesus is worthy to be worshipped. He's looking for more than just physical healing. Would you worship your doctor? Would you bow down before your doctor and worship him? Jairus treats Jesus more than just as a doctor. Jairus knows he needs more than a doctor. Jairus knows that Jesus is more than just a miracle worker, more than just a healer. He is the Son of God, worthy to be worshipped. And we get a clue with that from verse 36, when Jesus speaks to Jairus and he says, "Do not fear, only keep believing." After his daughters died, like I said later in the reading, Jesus recognizes that Jairus has faith. Now, after Jairus bows down and prays to Jesus, we certainly would expect Jesus to help Jairus. If Jesus would answer anyone's prayer, it appears that Jairus fits the bill. However, if you paid attention to the reading, after Jairus requested of Jesus, Jesus doesn't say anything. The text just says, and Jesus goes with him. As is the case many times with Jesus, he doesn't always answer our prayers immediately. He doesn't answer them as we wish he might. It was a simple prayer and easy enough, but Jesus just goes with him. Jesus doesn't say he's going to do anything, but he goes with Jairus, and certainly Jairus assumes something is going to happen. And as they're on their way, they meet another child of God. They meet a woman who's had a flow of blood for 12 years. Her case sounds very familiar in our day for anyone who's had to take a trip through our healthcare system. Healthcare was expensive. And what did she have to show for all the money she spent? It says she spent all her money, and the doctors, and it says she was worse. Nothing helped. But then there's a clue in the text that Mark enlightens us to something. He says, but she had heard about Jesus. And there is the key phrase that connects this woman to Jairus and her daughter. She had heard that faith comes by hearing. She had heard who Jesus claimed to be, and her prayers reflected that faith. Lex orandi, lex credendi. With this woman too, she, like Jairus, knew Jesus had something to offer, and she wanted it. She was willing to be pointed out. She came in humbleness. She was willing to be singled out. She just reached to touch his garment. Her actions reflected who she believed Jesus to be. Better than doctors, more sure than money, and she was healed. But as Jesus goes to help Jairus' daughter, this woman knows that she also is a daughter, that she isn't a daughter in need, a daughter who is dying, if not already dead. Maybe you know how she feels, battling a physical ailment for years, or maybe an anguish of soul, or your heart has been broken. Do you know this woman's predicament personally? That's why we hear this reading. We see she struggled for 12 years. You might struggle with something for a long time, but we also see she came to the presence of Jesus. She wanted what Jesus had to give. She wanted to be healed, of course, but specifically, this woman certainly wanted to be healed so that she could return to the presence of God in the temple. Her flow of blood rendered her unclean. She needed Jesus' blood to cleanse her. But then there's the problem that if she touched Jesus, she would have made him unclean. But instead, she is made clean by him because she believes. Her impurity doesn't transfer to Jesus, but his purity transfers to her, and his purity transfers to you. And that is what you need. Jesus is our refuge, certainly, when we're battling physical illness. But more than that healing, we need the healing for our sins. For we suffer with sin for more than just 12 years. And to be honest, your sins are more disturbing than any physical ailments or illness you may contract. Your sins are more grotesque than any medical condition that causes even the most hardened nurses to cringe. As sinners, our lex orandi, lex credendi, is more about a regular practice of sin. But Jesus calls you to repent, to forsake your sins, to reach out to him. As the woman does that, she is healed. And look what Jesus calls her. As he's on the way to raise a daughter from death, he turns to her and says, "Daughter, your faith has saved you." Yes, in English, it has made you well. But this word in Greek means your faith, it is saved. Not just healed in an earthly sense, not just answered her desire for earthly healing, but Jesus declares that this woman has faith that will cure her from death. The healing of this woman is meant to teach us about what Jesus is about to do to Jairus' daughter and also for you. What doctors can't do, what money can't buy, there was nothing that could help this woman. There is nothing that can rehabilitate us sinners. We need complete cleansing. We need to be raised from the dead. And that's what Jesus does. He saves us. And yet, before he gets to Jairus' daughter, they come and tell Jesus, "Don't worry about it anymore, she's dead." In a sort of backhanded way, they say, "Don't bother the teacher, it's a lost cause." Lex orandi, lex credendi. They believed Jesus had met his match. Why trouble him? He can't do anything, she's dead. But Jesus hears, and look who he answers. Look who Jesus comforts. He doesn't comfort the skeptics, but he gives assurance to Jairus. He turns to Jairus and says, "Keep believing." Those themes throughout the reading today about waiting, the woman 12 years, and Jairus waiting, "Keep believing." And Jesus answers, "She is only asleep." Jesus acknowledges she's dead, but he says death is like sleep to him. And just as you woke up from sleep this morning, Jesus can wake us from death. And look at the people's reaction when he speaks about death as sleep. They laugh. Lex orandi, lex credendi. They're laughing as their orandi, how they worship. And it shows that they believe in their hearts that Jesus can't offer anything in the face of death. You too, dear Christian, will be laughed at. Even in the face of death, when we stand there and say we will rise, the world laughs. It mocks us. Even during the pandemic, when churches across the nation continued to offer the body and blood of Jesus, we were mocked. Today, as I mentioned, is Confirmation Sunday. Do you remember what your vows were at confirmation? To be ready to stand with Christ even when you're mocked. To not give up this faith. When people believe your lex orandi, your worship and your prayers, the way of the church worships, when it's laughed at, when it's mocked, when it's scorned, you too, at your confirmation, promise to stand steadfast with Christ. Or maybe, like the people, you're tempted to think Jesus doesn't have anything to offer, to find satisfaction apart from Christ. But no, Jesus has come for those the world laughs at. Jesus comforted Jairus. The world doesn't realize we're all dying because of sin. And what is the world more concerned with? Success, making money, finding the newest trends. You, Christian, are different. Your priorities are different. Your lex orandi, lex credendi is different than the world. Because you reach for Jesus' garment. You die to sin, but yet live in Christ. Both the woman and Jairus' daughter, they were dead, and yet these are the ones who Jesus comes for. When you feel as good as dead, when you see your loved ones die, remember this reading today. Even as some of you know, and I told... you'll hear in the prayers also, a longtime member of our church, Lorraine Norby, she passed away early Saturday morning. We remember too, and it's a great comfort to us Christians, we remember that Lorraine was a daughter of Christ. And so as we see our loved ones, our friends, our fellow members of the church die, we know they aren't going to stay dead. We know that they are still yet living. They are only asleep in Christ. For we all must die in baptism with Christ. We can do nothing without Christ. The law declared the woman with a flow of blood unclean, Jairus' daughter unclean, both of them as good as dead. There was no distinction. All of us sinners have fallen short of the glory of God. But you see that Jesus does something. And Jesus has something for you too. He has forgiveness and eternal life. That even though your lex orandi, the way you live your life, has not always been according to what you believe, Jesus forgives you. Though you've bowed down to many things beside Jesus, chiefly your own will, and you've rebelled against God's, Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection promise you your sins do not win the day. That though you've bowed down to the world, Jesus bowed down to the Father for your sake, so that he would be lifted from death and you too. Only let your way of life not be a practice of sin, but one of repentance. We are unclean with sin, but Jesus comes not wearing a garment with a hem for us to touch. But we are even more bold, for we take the very body and blood of Jesus in our mouths. We are bold to confess that this medicine of immortality, that though we are laughed at by the world, we laugh at death. We say, "Oh death, where is your sting?" Jesus gave his life to defeat death. Jesus lives, so do we, and so do our children. Even though our flesh is dying, we take heart in Christ. For our faith has not only healed us, but it has saved us. For we have received from Jesus his forgiveness. Jesus lives. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.